John chapter 6, and we're going to preach a thought to your heart and mind today, who Jesus is, out of John chapter 6. I told you I was listening to some of these black men preach, S.M. Lockridge, great preacher of the past, E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill was saying, in church in Texas when he pastored, he said he had a deacon that was very unfamiliar with the English language. And he said one day the deacon came up to him and he said, "Pastor," he said, "God am good." And E.V. Hill looked at him and he said, "No, brother, God is good." He said, "He sure am." Amen. So I'm glad God is good. Amen. I'm glad today that He is who He said He is, and we can rejoice in Him today. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 6 and verse number 28. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent." And they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then said Jesus unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I am come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God.' Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you," listen, "he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." In verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." I want to bring this thought to you and who Jesus is. Jesus is the bread of life. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, give us the unction of God this morning to preach your word in power, not to preach to imitate anybody, but God, to preach to please you, and God, to bring conviction on our hearts, maybe again someone not saved, that they'd come to know Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that each of us that have been saved, God, will have a fresh appreciation and thankfulness and a gratefulness for the bread of life which came down from heaven to save the lost of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Seven times, we mentioned last week, seven times in John's gospel, Jesus declares that I am. We looked last week at the fact that Jesus said, I am the door. And the only way to get to heaven is through that door of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we have a door on our heart that must be open. And we open that as God knocks upon our heart's door and we hear Him knocking. And maybe today you'll hear God speak to you if you've never been saved, and you could be saved today. Now, there was a great example or a way that Christ tried to get the folks to understand who He was. He would use examples and comparisons, things that they would be very familiar with. He asked the disciples in Matthew chapter 16, he said, who do men say that I am? And one said, well, you're this, and one said, you're that. And by the way, people still have different opinions of who Jesus is. But Jesus asked the disciples, he said, but who do you say that I am? What's your opinion of me? Who do you think that I am? And Peter, of course, makes that great declaration, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Might I say today, it really doesn't matter what the world thinks of Jesus, but who you think that Jesus is today. In John chapter 6, we have an amazing thing that happens. In the first few verses of John chapter 6, in fact, the first 15 verses, there's a problem that comes up. Jesus has a multitude of people around Him, and there's no food. They've been with Him for several days. There's no food, and Jesus takes a boy's lunch of five loaves and two fishes and blesses them and breaks them and feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. So maybe probably at least 15, maybe 20, 30,000 people. Wouldn't have mattered if it had been 100,000 people. It would have been sufficient. And of course, Philip is one of these financial counselors, and he said, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread isn't sufficient for this great multitude, for everybody even just to have a little piece, much less to be filled. And Andrew hurry up and says, hey, I found a little boy. Isn't that amazing? That little boy gave up his lunch, and God blessed it in a great way. Boy, don't you know he went home and told Mama a story? Amen? Don't you know he went home and told an exciting story of what happened out on the hillside when he gave his lunch to Jesus? I think it's a good example of faith, what Jesus is trying to talk to us about. And so this is the setting of this chapter. These people have eaten. And then it becomes night. The disciples in verse 22 through 31, or I'm sorry, 16 through 21, they go across the sea, and that's whenever the sea is rough, and Jesus comes walking on the sea and calms the sea, and he ends up on the other side. And the Bible says in verse 22, the next day. So this would be the next morning. The people are coming to find him. They are seeking food more than they're seeking Jesus. And I'm telling you today that many times people are seeking for the necessities of life more than they're seeking for the Lord. There comes a question, verse number 28 and verse number 29, that we began our reading in. And there was some discussion, or maybe Jesus by the Holy Spirit discerned the intent of the people was to come for food. And so in verse 26 or 27, he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, and but that which is endures unto life everlasting, or everlasting life. And so he said, folks, he said, it's necessary to eat, but what's most necessary is the eternal things. We live down here. The temporal things are necessary, but the eternal things are the things that are going to matter. And so he tries to impress upon their heart. In verse 28, they ask him, they said, well, what, you know, since we're talking about work, what should we work? What work should we do to get to heaven? And of course we know We read it in Sunday school this morning that no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. You can't be saved by doing. Come on now. You can't be saved by doing. Praise the Lord. You just can't be saved by doing. There's no works of the law that you can do to be saved. There's nothing you can do to be saved. No works that you can do. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, the Bible says. And so Jesus here, in verse 28, they ask, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That we could go to heaven, that we could go. So he tells them, in verse 29, this is the work of God. You want to do what God wants you to do to go to heaven? Here it is. Believe on him whom he sent. That's what God wants you to do. It doesn't get any easier or any harder than that. If you want to do what pleases God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's still the message that we preach today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a letter the other day from another church in town where we had dropped off a John and Romans, and this young fella tried to rebuke me and chide me and commend me all in the same letter. And then on the back, he gave me a list of things on how to get to heaven. And everything that he gave me was condensed down to one thing. I've got to do this in order to get to heaven. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we come to this portion of Scripture, and the disciples said, well, we want to see a sign. You know, if this is to believe, we want to know who God is. You know, they were always wondering who Jesus was. They was always questioning his deity. And our fathers, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe? Thee. What, you said to believe is all that he wants us to do. To believe on Jesus. Well, why don't you do a miracle that would show us that you're God's son? And then of all things, they bring up the feeding of the 5,000. Our fathers did eat man in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, isn't that interesting? If you're God's son, why don't you do a miracle? Why don't you show us how powerful you are? Do a miracle for us. Now I know that feeding of the 5,000 was a tremendous thing, but if you want to be like God, why don't you feed us with manna for 40 years, 360 days a year? Why don't you do that if you're God's son? Isn't it amazing how people are always trying to question the work of God? They see God do something and there's always a reason why, you know, it can't be God. It has to be something. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we'll begin to question what God does, even as believers. We'll begin to cast doubt on the works of God. Well, you know, I know that God, but how do we know they really got saved? Or how do we know that this really happened? Or how do we know? Well, I'll tell you what. The same way we know you got saved. We just trust your word on it. Amen? And so they began this questioning, and Jesus begins to respond to them with this bread. Now, everybody in this room knows the essential and the importance of bread. Bread is good. Now, I know our world says it's fattening, but I'm telling you what, it's good. Now, when you and I and folks my age, most of us were growing up, the luxury of store-bought bread was a luxury. Most of the time, bread was bought, but many times it was made. I can still remember my mother making bread. Not buying frozen bread and making bread, homemade bread, as we might today, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I can remember my mom pouring out the flour and all of the stuff and making bread. Y'all remember that? How many's ever made bread from scratch? Not from Walmart or from Aldi's. Okay, a few have, praise the Lord. And oh, what a joy it was. When the bread was done, the aroma would fill the house, and you'd take that bread and you'd slice it up. We didn't have one of them automatic slicers. You'd take that old butcher knife and slice that bread up, and you'd put butter on it, and it'd melt right on the bread, and jelly on it, and oh, bread is good. Amen? And I almost had Yvette to go get some homemade store-bought bread and bring it downstairs and cook it and bring it up here and let the aroma fill it, but I figured y'all would get hungry and leave. But we all know what bread is, amen? If you Thanksgiving, your family got together, they may have made bread. I like bread, amen? I don't know. I thank God that I'm not allergic to bread. In fact, as you can well tell, I'm not allergic to much of anything except sauerkraut. And other than that, I thank God today that I can eat bread. I still like bread. I like store-bought bread. I can eat toast. Man, I love toast. Amen. Y'all like toast? Praise God. I like toast. Get it all. I don't like warm bread. I like toast. It don't matter to me if it even had a little black on it. I just don't want it white warm. I want it to have a little brown and a little darker brown in it, and put butter on it and jelly. Or, oh, man, I like putting butter on toast and sprinkling a little sugar and a little bit of cinnamon. Son, I'm telling you what, I can OD on that stuff. And bread, and you know something about bread is it's essential to life. You don't have to have meat. You don't have to have peas. You don't have to have sauerkraut. You don't have to have all the, but you got to have bread. Because that's what the Bible says. You can live on bread and water. You can live on bread and water. Back in the old days, whenever prison was prison, bread and water was a deluxe. Thank God today for bread and water. And so Jesus reminds us and uses this illustration, this comparison. And he said, just as necessity of bread and water. Remember Elijah over there at the widow's house? I remember years ago, I think I've told you this, years ago on Sunday morning, there was an old preacher from the south that moved to the north there in Illinois and went to the east of us a little bit. And everything that he said had an R on it. And he said, I remember one day listening to him preach on Sunday morning, and he said, I'm going to preach to you about Elijah going down to the widow's house. And I never forgot that. And he talked about Elijah going down to the widow's house and her making that bread and taking those two sticks and making that bread. And it sustained Elijah and her home, that bread and water during that time. And I'm just here to tell you, thank God today we have bread. But Jesus said, and I like bread and you ought to like bread. Amen. I know they say it's bad for you, but it's really good for you. Bread and honey. I may want to go home and make bread now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just telling you, it's essential to life. And so Jesus takes this and he says, now listen, I am going to tell you, I'm going to use your theory, your thought, and I am going to tell you about the true bread of heaven. And I'm going to do that with the help of the Lord here this morning. I want you to look at verse number 32 and number 33. And I want you to look here, and I want you to look at what God said, what Jesus said about the true bread, the power of the bread. It had power to bring eternal life or to give eternal life for three reasons. Number one, in verse 32, at the last part, he says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ is the true bread. That means there's false breads out there. Amen? That means there's people that offer you bread. See, bread that Jesus is talking about is something that's going to save you and redeem you and take you to heaven. He said, I am the true bread. I am the true bread. The power is in the bread because it's true bread. It's not fake. Sometimes, one time somebody gave me a little wafer of something. I don't know, it kind of looked like Rice Krispies to me, and they said, this is a good substitute for bread. And I took a bite of that and I thought, that ain't no substitute for bread. That ain't substitute for nothing. Amen. You can't substitute bread. Bread is just bread. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the true bread. So I want you to understand that today. Jesus is not offering you some fake thing. He's offering you true bread. Second thing in the power of this bread is it's heavenly bread. In verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. God did not originate with man, but Jesus came down from heaven. He left his glory and took upon himself the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's a heavenly bread. And then he's life-giving bread. And the Bible says in verse 33 that he giveth life unto the world. Jesus is giving life through himself. So he says, just as bread sustains you with life, so I am going to give you life through me. Through me. What he tries here in John to convince people and to draw people is that you need something that you don't have. Now inside of you today is you were made into a three-part being. You were made into a body. That's what we see. You were made into a soul. That's you, apart from your body. And you were made a spirit. Whenever Adam sinned, that spirit died. And that emptiness is trying to be filled today by all kinds of things. And God puts a natural hunger in every person for himself. The sad thing is, people don't know what that hunger is. And this morning while you're sitting here, if you've never been saved, there is something on the inside of you. Way down deep, just as I said last week, where God is knocking on your heart's door. It's way down deep inside. There is something that you are longing for. It is something that you are hungering for. And that hunger is for Christ. He is the only one that can satisfy that hunger that's inside of you. And today, if you feel that you are, as we might say, hungry, and you feel your need to be saved, Jesus is the bread that you need. It is not in Muhammad. It is not in Allah. It is not in Hinduism, in Buddhism. You will never be satisfied out here in the world. The world has tried to imitate God, or let me say, the devil has tried to imitate God by creating other things that try to bring satisfaction. The world has tried to bring things that try to create satisfaction. But I say to you today, there is only one person who can satisfy your soul, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus satisfied my soul years ago when I was just 17, 18 year old almost. And that bread, I was hungry for him. And I ate that bread. I ate that true bread. And he satisfied my soul. My friends, today I'm telling you that this world tries to satisfy it with immoral living. This world tries to satisfy it with education. This world tries to satisfy it with alcohol and drugs and every worldly activity there is. And people fulfill that and it satisfies for a little bit, but then they're hungry again. And then they get hungry again. And Jesus is that bread come down from God, that true bread come down from God to give life unto all. The second thing is the purpose of the bread is found in verse 34 through 40. Jesus said the purpose of this bread is to satisfy. In verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Jesus said, once you get a taste of this bread, once you get a loaf of this bread, you will be satisfied. You know, ladies and gentlemen, before I got saved, man, I was wondering and worrying about eternal matters. But that night, whenever I bowed my knees and called upon Christ to be my Savior, I got something that I'd never had before. I got satisfied. And I've been satisfied ever since. I've never had to go out and seek anything else. I love to be satisfied with Jesus. And I'm here to tell you today, the purpose of that bread is to satisfy that hunger that is inside of you today. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God and by the good grace, by the goodness of God, then my friend, you are missing out on the most important thing there is, the bread of life, which satisfies your soul. It satisfies your soul. The world can't satisfy you. Religion can't satisfy you. Pleasures of the world can't satisfy you. Oh, they work for a season, but at the end they wear out. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today going through this world trying to be satisfied by the things of this world, and it just can't happen. But Jesus can satisfy. The second purpose of this bread is to secure you. Look at verse 37. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You have a promise today that if you are hungry for Jesus, if there's something missing inside of you today, there is an emptiness in you today, and you are hungry, and you come, and you take of this heavenly bread, he said, you will be safe with me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I think I mentioned it last week, that if you come through the door, you will find Jesus is always welcoming to those who come through the door. There has never been anybody who has come to the door by faith and Jesus turned them away. There has never been one that's come to him and him cast them out. He has never lost one. And his promise to you, if you're hungry tonight, today, if there's a hunger in your soul and you come to Jesus, he said, I will secure you. You are welcome with me. The third purpose of the bread is to save you. Look at verse number 40. And this is the will of God, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. See, he goes right back to that very thing. Work of God, believe. The will of God, believe. God wants you to believe. We're living in a day in which people are hungry, but they can't be satisfied. Hunger does strange things to you. This world would go into absolute chaos if there's no food. We can do without some things, but we can't do without food. And your life today is in chaos. Your insides are in chaos without the bread of life. And you need him today. And if you come to him, he said, I will save you. Look at verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me. This is the will of God. This is the will of the Father that sent the Son, that everyone that seeth the Son. Now, we can't see him with our eyeballs, but we can see him by faith. We can believe that Jesus came. We can believe that Jesus died. We can believe that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. We can believe that he was buried. And we can believe that he rose again. We can believe, ladies and gentlemen, by faith that all of those things God sent his Son to do for us. And when we believe that and we enter into that door, or we take that bread and we take it into our body by faith, into our heart by faith. That's what he means when he says, eat that bread. When you take Jesus in by faith, you'll have everlasting life. That's the benefit of that bread. Now, I love to eat homemade bread. I love to eat store-bought bread. But you know, that bread only lasts a little while, and then I'm ready to eat again. And I'm here to tell you, when you get Jesus, you won't want to eat again. you'll get enough. Maybe today you need to come. Amen. The third thing is this. The plan for the bread is found in verse 43 through 51. The plan for the bread is to receive mankind in verse 44. No man that cometh to me, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now it's amazing what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And then he says, no man can come to me but the Father that sent me draw him. Now let me tell you how that drawing is. Drawing is a strange thing because we don't know what it is. I talked about hunger. You know, God made our bodies with a natural time to get hungry. Now I know we overeat and we have way too much to eat and all that kind of stuff. And you just understand it. But you know, if we only ate when we got hungry, our body would signal it's time to eat. It'd say, hey, it's time to eat. Now there's a difference between hunger and appetite. Amen? Appetite is what the world feeds you. That's what ho-hos are for, and Twinkies, and Hershey's, and ding-dongs, and Christmas trees. Them fill your appetite. Everybody has an appetite. That's what happens to you coffee drinkers of a morning. You have an appetite. Well, I wasn't going to say a soda drinkers. I don't say coffee drinkers. That's what happens to a beer drinker, a wine drinker, a whiskey drinker. They have an appetite. It's not hunger, it's an appetite. And the world has learned to feed your appetite and to feed mine. And I'm just going to say this, thank God for it. I like Twinkies, and I like Christmas trees, and I like Hershey chocolate, and I like all that stuff. But you know, I can get up from the table and be full as a stuffed pig. And somebody say, you want ice cream? My appetite says, yes. We're eating. But you know, the world or the devil has learned to fill your appetite spiritually with all kinds of worldly things. But God said this, that hunger inside of you is a natural work of God. And here's what he says, is whenever God puts his eye on you, he begins to draw you to Jesus. He begins to draw you to that bread. He begins to draw you to the Savior. How does he do that? Well, way down deep inside. See, we're going right back down to that secret place inside of you. Down in that secret place inside of you, it's like God takes his hand and he knocks on that door and he tries to tug at your heart. He tries to draw you. He tries to pull you to Jesus. He tries to woo you to him. He tries to call you to him. Thing about that conviction is this. There ain't another person in this room that knows that it's going on. And to you, it's like everybody knows it's going on. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Are you thirsty? Come to me. Are you hungry? Come to me. He knocks at your heart's door. Fresh bread. Fresh bread. Open the door, and I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. The purpose of this bread was to receive mankind, that all mankind might be saved. The plan of this bread was to redeem him. Look there in verse number 47. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now listen, I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man will eat this bread, he shall live forever. And here's what Jesus said. If you'll take, now he's not talking about physically eating Christ. He's using a comparison. Just as you take bread, the worldly bread, the bread of this world, and eat it, and it doesn't satisfy. Because at lunch, you're ready to eat again. And at supper, you're ready to eat again. He said, as you eat that bread and it doesn't satisfy, he said, if you take me in, if you take me in, if you receive me, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And Jesus said, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, if any man believe on this bread, if any man receive this bread, he shall live forever. The Lord said, any man that goes in this door shall be saved. Same thought. You'll have everlasting life. Today, friends, there's nothing more needful in your life than to receive this bread. The third thing, the plan for this bread was to reach mankind. Twice, in verse number 33 and 51, Jesus said, I will give for the life of the world. Twice he says this. Jesus came down for the world. He came down to redeem the world. If you're a human being, Jesus came down to give you this bread. If I had a loaf of homemade bread here and it had just come out of the oven and I had several loaves of bread here, whatever the case may be, if I had a loaf of bread here and let's suppose that, you know, I think I have some grandkids that don't like butter on their bread. They must take after the other side of the family. And I have some grandkids that don't like jelly on bread. I don't know. But if I had fresh bread here, do y'all like butter and jelly and all? Tell you what, must be after your vet's side then. Because our crowd eats, amen? If I had fresh bread here and had butter and jelly or cinnamon or whatever it was you like, and I walked by and I said, now listen, this bread is free. Boy, you caught the smell of that bread. Oh, I like bread. And I like bread with butter on it, jelly on it, or cinnamon, sugar, whatever it was you like. Or apple butter. Yeah, that's good too. And I said, all right, now here's what it's going to take for you to have this bread. You just have to take it. And you say, well, you know what? I sure do like the smell of that bread. I sure am a bread lover. But I don't think I want it. I don't think I want it. I just go to the next person. Say, you want a piece of bread? And they say, oh, man, we like bread. We like butter. We like all that other stuff on it. We're taking it. See, the thing about salvation is while I've been preaching, God has been going from person to person that's not saved, saying, do you want this bread? And you can say yes, or you can say no. To say yes, you just have to receive it. Just have to take it. What is the work? Say, preacher, what I got to work to get saved? Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is God's will for my life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today you've never been saved. And while I've been preaching, God's been drawing your heart way down deep on the inside, just where it's you and God, nobody else. You came today thinking, boy, you know, I don't even know why I'm going. I'm just going to go today. Just feel something drawing me. I feel something drawing me. Guess who that is? That's God trying to satisfy that emptiness in your soul. That emptiness that's in your soul. Here in a minute, Miss Rachel, you going to play the hymn of invitation? You come on up and get ready to play. Whoever's going to play, I'm not sure who it is. Whoever's going to play the hymn of invitation. they're going to get ready to play. And I'm going to pray here in a minute. And when I pray, if you feel that there is something in your heart missing, boy, I feel like there's just an emptiness on the side of me. Well, let me tell you what. You need Jesus this morning. And God has made you feel that emptiness so He could satisfy that emptiness. And today, if you would come to Jesus, you'll find that He'll give you what satisfies. Could I get a witness there, as the black brethren would say? How many got satisfied one day with Jesus? Amen. I sure did. And I'm here to tell you, He'll satisfy you. Let's pray. Miss Rachel, when I'm done, you can start playing. Before I pray, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe somebody today say, you know what, Brother Tim? I think I really need to be saved. I feel something empty on the inside. And I know that what you're saying is true. Not because I'm saying it, but because it's Bible. Maybe today, you just slip your hand up and say, preacher, oh, ain't nobody looking around but me. Maybe today you'd say, Brother Tim, in your prayer include me because I think there's something missing in my heart. I know there's something missing in my heart. And I believe that God's drawing me today